This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
All right, just before break, it came down that the Jets have traded Sam Darnold, so Sam's three-year Jet career is over. You knew the writing was on the wall from the time Joe Douglas was on our show, even before Zach Wilson became everybody's flavor of the month, when Joe said that obviously the option year and what it would cost would factor into things, and the Jets would be forced to have to pick that up. Now they get to reset the financial clock on a quarterback when they select Zach Wilson with the number two pick. So they trade Sam to the Panthers for a sixth-round pick this coming draft, and a second and fourth round picks in 2022. Not exactly a haul for a guy that you gave three second round picks to move up to the third pick in the draft and take him all those years ago. So all those people that have been saying Sam Darnold is not the problem, obviously Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas think that he was part of the problem. He wasn't given a great situation. Two different coaches, three different offensive coordinators, didn't have great talent around him. But it looks like these two people that are evaluating what's good for the Jets feel that some of the blame, and a lot of the blame, has to go to Sam. So he goes to the Panthers. And this trade by the Panthers would tell you Deshaun Watson is not acquirable right now.
No.
The 22nd person came forward today and is part of the lawsuit against Deshaun Watson. So 22 women have come forward, and the Carolina Panthers were really trying to get Deshaun Watson. That was their number one goal. Obviously, they didn't like what they got out of Teddy Bridgewater last year. So now Sam Darnold will start this camp as the presumptive favorite, and he's going to be reunited with Robbie Anderson, and we'll see if they could find something there with Matt Rhule, who's obviously a college-friendly coach, and we'll see exactly what they could do. But the Jets finally gave up on Sam Darnold.
It's an interesting spot for Sam. I mean, do you think it's a presumptive starter, Michael, or you think it's just a competition between him and Teddy Bridgewater?
I think a presumptive starter, but it's going to be a competition. But I would presume they didn't make that trade to have him back up Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, I'll give him options, right? I mean, Teddy threw for 3,700 yards and 15 touchdowns, did throw 11 picks, but they were actively looking for a quarterback.
Right.
So I would think Sam may go in as the favorite. We'll see. He'll have to compete for the job. Now, this is a team that's got a ton more weapons than the Jets. Robbie Anderson, Curtis Samuel, McCaffrey. They've got some players
Samuel's
there
gone.
That Sam is going to be able to say, excuse me?
Samuel's gone, went to Washington.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, that's right. He had almost 1,000 yards receiving for him, but still have Robbie Anderson. You still have Christian McCaffrey. They've got talent there. As you said, they wanted Watson, didn't get him. So I'm sure there'll be a competition. Bridgewater is still there. You know, pretty decent numbers, 15 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, over 3,700 yards passing. But, you know, you can look at it and say they didn't get a first-round pick, but they got a second-round pick and two other picks, a sixth this year and then the fourth-round pick next year, a two and a four next year. So you got something back. I don't know if it's an admission that he was the problem in New York. I think that they wanted to hit the reset, you know, and they wanted to – I think Joe Douglas wanted to start with his guy, and they believe that Wilson eventually will become a better quarterback than Sam Darnold. So probably more so than the money, which would have been a $19 million hit if they decided to keep him beyond this year. It is a chance for this organization to absolutely positively rid themselves of everything McCagnan. I'd have to take a second glance at the roster. I don't know how many guys are left from the McCagnan era. I think they're all gone now. And this was the biggest piece, right? This was the quarterback that McCagnan, as you said, Michael, traded up to get. And now Joe Douglas gets to go into the future now with his head coach and his quarterback.
See, but that's the narrative, but I don't think Joe Douglas is that guy. If he thought that Sam Darnold was a quarterback that could lead the Jets to the promised land, I don't think he would mind if it was McCagnan's guy. I don't think he traded him for that reason. I think they made an educated decision. They looked at tape. Saleh looked at tape and said, this is not the guy moving forward. I don't think it has anything to do. I mean, yeah, it's a cleansing of the McCagnan era. But the bottom line is, I don't think that's why they did it.
Well, I don't think that's why they did it. But I think Joe probably wanted his guy. The thing is, Michael, again, you may be right. He may have looked at it and said, I just think this quarterback is terrible. I'm going to move on. Or he might have just looked at it and said, it's hard to tell. It's really hard to tell what we have here. It's been three non-productive years, not a lot of good coaching, not a lot of good players around him, and I it's an unknown about the quarterback I'm going to select because it's really one good year from Wilson at BYU and against not a tremendous competition like what Lawrence went through at Clemson or Fields went through at Ohio State. So if I've got to go with an unknown, why don't I go with my unknown instead of somebody else's unknown?
But I don't know why he would be an unknown. I mean, they have 3 years of tape on him. He's not an unknown. They've decided he's not good enough.
Well,
a great coach should be able to see if a quarterback is good, even if he doesn't have great people around him. They don't think he's good enough. I think it'd be doing a disservice to them to say he's unknown. They have 3 years of tape on him. I'd say Zach Wilson is more unknown. They essentially have 1 year of tape on Zach Wilson. He was terrible the year before. Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network said, "I love this trade for all three parties. Jets get a valuable second-round pick in 22, plus two other picks to build around Zach Wilson. Carolina was a no-man's land for a quarterback in this draft. They get 23-year-old quarterback with a lot of talent. Now they can grab elite position player at 8. And for Sam, it's a fresh start." Now, our buddy Rich Samini tweets out, "You know how I feel. I don't like this move for the Jets. They should have kept Darnold and traded the number 2 pick for a fortune. Feels like they gave up a winning lottery ticket."
Wow.
SportTrack says that Sam Darnold is behind 5.01 of dead cap to the Jets, which doesn't matter because they have a lot of cap room. Bringing with him a one-year $4.77 million contract to the Panthers, plus an $18.8 million fifth-year option that must be exercised by May 3rd. And I would think they would do that, Don, because they traded for him.
Well, here's
can
where
you imagine?
Go ahead, Peter.
Just the disaster. If Wilson's a bust and Sam succeeds in Carolina, that is a tough one to get up from.
Well, this is where it's at. Right? We've done a lot of talking about who's right, who's wrong. We're going to find out. Because Sam's going to a place with a really good coach. Matt Rhule's probably somebody that definitely should have hired instead of Gase. Right? There's a lot of talent in Carolina. All right? He'll have competition with Teddy Bridgewater to win the job. But if I'm right, Rich Samini is right, and all the other people that think Sam's got talent, he should be able to beat out Teddy Bridgewater. And he will have a very, very good offense to work with. So if Sam can't cut it, you know, in the next couple of years in Carolina, then you guys are right and I was wrong that he's just a dud and he just didn't work out. But it's all laid out there. We're going to find out who's right or wrong pretty soon because Sam's in a place where he's got talent with a good coach. Wilson's coming in here as the second overall pick. Now there's no doubt. And it's probably unfair to judge Wilson in year one. But in a few years, we'll look back. I don't know, what is it, 2021? In 2023, 2024, we'll look and how's Sam doing? Is he still in the league? Is he still in Carolina? Is he playing well? Where's Wilson? Eventually, we're going to find out who was right.
Adam Schefter reporting that Carolina and the Jets have been talking for weeks. Panthers' compensation kept creeping up and up and up to where it came in today.
Panthers are an interesting team, too. We just talked about the fact they don't have Curtis Samuel anymore, but they're also a team that last year played close a lot. I mean, they got smacked around in a divisional game against the Bucs, but they also played incredibly close against the Chiefs. They played they lost by a touchdown to the Packers. They lost to the Broncos by 5. They played a lot. This is a team that could have been pretty decent last year. They were not really far away from being a team that could compete for the playoffs. So Sam won't get to have the same sort of slack that he had here in New York. They're bringing in someone that they think can help get them over the top.
Mike Greenberg, our buddy, tweets out, "Sam Darnold was the absolute least of the Jets' problems the past 3 years. Deserved better from the moment he got to town. He's going to be a really good quarterback in the NFL. I'll be rooting for him."
Well, and that's going to put a lot of pressure because if you believe that he's going to be a real good quarterback in the NFL, now Wilson's got to succeed and he is going to be compared to Sam now, right? Because that's what the Jets could have had if he goes out there and lights it up because the Jets should have weapons this year. So, yeah, we're going to find out. We are going to definitely find out.
Teddy Bridgewater has 2 years, $39 million remaining on his contract with the Panthers, including $10 million fully guaranteed in 2021. Post-June 1st release means $15 million of dead cap, $8 million saved this year, and another $5 million next year, $21 million cleared.
I really wonder if with Teddy, does he care a lot about what the rest of his career holds, or was his path back to getting these contracts and making generational money the whole thing? He was
He didn't make generational money. He did okay. I mean, he took care of himself. And he didn't have a bad year last year. He almost completed 70% of his passes.
What does he have guaranteed over the next 2 years?
Just $10 million more guaranteed this year. It's $39 million, but just $10 million guaranteed.
$10 million. So if they were to get rid of him, he'd only make the 10. Right. I guess it depends on what kind of family you come from.
But he made $10 million last year, too.
Right. So, I mean, walking around with $20 million when you were a guy whose leg collapsed under you on the football field and people thought you'd never play again, I've always wondered for him, is the win just getting a contract, making another $20, $30 million and calling it a day?
All right, let's go to the phone, see what you think. We'll start with McKenzie in Chicago. McKenzie.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Honestly, I'm a Giants fan, but I don't like what the Jets are doing. You know, I'm a New Yorker through and through. I'm from New York. I just moved out here, but the Jets, they're not going through with their plans. Like they're starting over way too much. Why are you giving up on Sam Darnold? You just had a horrible coach in Gates. A ridiculously horrible coaching gigs.
But you don't get the opportunity to pick this high in the draft that often. You got to take advantage.
You keep changing GMs, you know, from Idzik to McCagnan to Douglas. They're going to have different plans. I'm sorry. They're going to have different plans. So it's not like they're not staying with a plan. The plan is over once a GM leaves. McCagnan's plan is over. Jets made a huge mistake letting McCagnan spend the money that they had available. And then they hired Joe Douglas. Ridiculous. Christopher Johnson's worst move. Worst move he could have made. Let's go to Ira in Staten Island. Ira.
Hey, Michael. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am good, good, all good. I'm thrilled for all three parties. I'm thrilled for Sam. He's walking into a decent situation in Carolina. He could get his career back on track. And he reunites with Robbie Anderson, who he had chemistry. Joe Douglas dropped the ball, not keeping him. But I think he will, you know, listen, I know Don and I, you know, we're in two different, and so many disagree with this whole thing. But I think at the end of the day, Zach Wilson down the road, I think Sam is going to be a good quarterback, but I think Zach Wilson will be better. So I think all parties win here. And I tell you, I got to give Douglas credit. You know, as the market was going down and down, a sixth-round pick this year, you know, listen, it is what it is. But to get a 2 and a 4 for next year, considering the circumstances, he has bad tape out there, and everybody knows that they wanted to get rid of him. I thought Douglas did fine. And you know what? I think the Jets are headed in the right direction, and I wish Sam well because I think he's going to a good organization.
Now, we brought this up, Ira. What do you think if Sam goes to Carolina and becomes a star and Zach Wilson doesn't? I mean, you're going to pull your hair out.
No, not really. That's what Douglas gets paid to do. You know, I feel confident in my non-professional opinion that Zach Wilson and Justin Fields will both be better than Sam Darnold. Because you know how I feel. Sam Darnold is Andy Dalton, Ryan Fitzpatrick. And that's good enough to have a nice career in the NFL. He's never going to take Carolina to a Super Bowl. And that I hope I'm wrong. I hope I eat crow. But I don't think that's going to be the case.
Oh, you can't hope you're wrong. As a Jet fan, you don't want that to happen.
No,
you don't hope you're wrong.
I'm the first one to admit, if I have my evaluation, well, I say something and I'm wrong, I'm the first one to step up and say I'm wrong.
Oh, no. I get that, but there's no way you're hoping he takes them to a Super Bowl.
No, you don't want to see him take. Because, listen,
I mean, that's
now
the
Wilson
worst thing
would
that
have
could
to
happen
do it.
With the Jets.
Then Wilson would have to do it.
Right.
You know, guys, so you can't ask Ira how he would feel. He's broken. I mean, this is a poor man. Well, not poor, obviously, because he spends his entire life following the Jets, but he doesn't even know up from down, right from wrong, left from right anymore, this amount of losing he's been subjected to.
I do think the Jets caught a break with the Watson stuff because I think Carolina was hot to get him, and if they could have pulled off that deal, because right now you make that deal, that deal's not on the table if Watson's still available. If Watson's not through this whole controversy, Peter, I think Carolina is not talking to the Jets. They're talking to Houston to try to get a deal done. Then maybe eventually would go to the Jets and make a deal before the draft. But I like what the Jets did here. You have to, because there was a lot of talk about them getting a second-round pick this year, not a first-round pick. Well, they got a second-round pick next year, but also two additional picks. So I don't think you really can complain. I think they got something of real value for a quarterback in which they had no leverage, right, Michael? Everybody knew they were taking Wilson. Everybody knew they were trading Sam.
I agree. This actually, to me, it's another good day for Douglas. It reminds me of the Seattle deal. You know, because think about it. No leverage in the Jamal Adams situation, still got a great haul. No one was thinking about a second-round pick, particularly for Sam. I felt like at this point we were hearing third and fourth round. So the fact that the next year they will get, in 2022, they will get a second-rounder, that's pretty damn good.
Our friend Chris Sims has weighed in. Great trade for the Panthers. Sam Darnold is the perfect fit for the offense they run under Joe Brady. Now, Brady was the offensive coordinator of LSU, who turned Joe Burrow into a Heisman Trophy winner and then came over to the Panthers last year. West Coast, Sean Payton stuff. Darnold is an incredible intermediate passer between 5 and 20 yards, has a quick release and great feet in the pocket.
I just couldn't – Andrew, can you write down all these people? It's a lot of people. We need – because, Michael, I've never seen – and again, I am closer to Don than you. I really do think Sam has some potential. But I've never seen this level of outpouring for someone where there's not really the tape to back it up at all.
Let's go to Mike in Long Island. Mike.
Hey, I kind of think this is finally a good move for the Jets here.
Yep.
Why?
Because they've been flip-flopping back and forth kind of between, are we going to keep Sam? Are we going to get rid of Sam? I think it's a good move to finally move on, make their decision, and now they can go into the draft knowing what they're going to do and kind of get a game plan going. I don't think the two-quarterback thing would have really worked for them.
Agreed.
Especially not with Sam.
Oh, I think all three of us were in lockstep with that. I mean, keeping him as the backup quarterback, it didn't work, or having Zach Wilson. You got to pick. You got to make a choice. It's a tough choice. And as Don said, Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh's legacy, it's on the line right now. This will define your tenure with the Jets. If this blows up, Joe Douglas is gone. You can't make a mistake on a quarterback. You can't. You can make one mistake, and then you're gone. So you've given up Sam Darnold, and if he goes to Carolina and becomes a star and Zach Wilson doesn't, then that's it. Robert Saleh's out, and Joe Douglas is out. That's the kind of heat that's on this kind of pick. That's how big this pick is. And they know it. This decision is a career maker or a career killer. And I don't think I'm being hyperbolic. Am I, Don? It's a career maker or a career killer.
And what makes it even worse for Joe Douglas is he had an option. Like, there's a lot of teams that you don't have a quarterback. You got to take the quarterback and then you choose Wilson. And you're based on whether that pick works or not. This will already be judged not just on how Wilson does, but how Sam does. Because if Wilson turns out to be a bust and Sam's a bust, he'll say, all right, well, listen, it just no matter what direction they would have went or gone, they're done, right? Because
so
Sam didn't work out either. But now he's got double barrel. He's got to have Wilson work, and then he has to kind of hope that if Wilson doesn't work, that Sam doesn't work. It would be a double barrel disaster if Wilson doesn't work and Sam's out there going to the playoffs every year and going to the Pro Bowl in Carolina.
All right, Damian Woody is going to join us at 4:30, so he'll join us next. And by the way, Peter, you'll like this. The Jets play at the Panthers this coming season.
Right, so A, there's a Jets-Panthers game, which will be interesting. And then over the next two drafts, the Jets have 4 first-rounders, 3 second-rounders, and 3 third-rounders. So say what you want. Joe Douglas appears to be doing things a little bit differently than they've been done previously for this team.
All right, so we'll quickly break, but first we have to find out the matchup for Drop Madness, and then we'll have Damian Woody. So, Peter, take it away. This is for the title.
This is for the title. I can't believe we are here at the end of the line with Drop Madness, ladies and gentlemen. It all comes down to this, and, of course, it's brought to you by our friends at Wendy's, where quality is our recipe. Wendy's, we got you the championship, the one seed from the Michael region.
Don plowed his entire neighborhood yesterday.
Up against the 4 seed from the Don region.
I think I'm saying this right, Peter. Stench in Mamaroneck. You're on ESPN New York. How are you, sir?
Oh, hey, no, it's Bennett.
So, TMKS, ESPN on Twitter. Are you a plowed guy or gal or a stench guy or gal? It's two major, major, really colossal differences in taste, in humor, in intelligence. that will lead to your decision-making. TMKS ESPN on Twitter, Drop Madness, the final today, brought to you by Wendy's.
And I'll tell you what, if we were going to make up campaign posters, be proud of Plowed. That's what I would say. I don't know what the stench one would be. Be proud, vote for Plowed.
Staunch for stench.
Let's hear from Joe Douglas. He released this statement. I want to publicly acknowledge the commitment, dedication, and professionalism Sam displayed while with the Jets. He's a tough-minded, talented football player whose NFL story has not been written yet. While all these things are true, this move is in the short and long-term best interest for both this team and him. We thank Sam for all of his work on behalf of this organization and wish him well as he continues his career. Damian Woody wanted them to keep Sam. He will join us in just a moment. Stick around on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, so Drop Madness is being voted on. You've got about 2 hours to vote, and we'll find out the winner of this year's Drop Madness at 6:20. But I got to tell you, a little startled, everybody, by the love affair with Stench. I mean, he's running away with it over Plowed the Neighborhood. It's unbelievable.
I don't know how to feel about it.
I mean, I'm glad.
Why don't you guys just admit you're wrong? It's rare, but you're wrong. Don, you're the first person who would say that. You'd say, you know what, just take the L.
Well, I'm going to have to take the L as of 6:20, but I just don't understand the obsession with it.
But here's what I'll say.
Sniffem should be the winner of this tournament. Yeah, it's not my drop.
If I win it, I'll take the win because I've won every one of these things, and I'm proud of that. But this is not the drop I would think would win, but I think it's kind of built up, Peter. It's a good drop. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in Drop Madness. And it's a 4 seed. I get it. But for some reason, people have fallen in love with this, and I just don't get why. I really don't. Now I think it's become a thing where now people have just gotten behind it who maybe don't even believe that it's that great of a drop. It's just become a thing now.
But everyone felt that it was that great. Like the thing I don't understand is why you guys don't think it's that great.
Well, you can make us think. It's an opinion. It's not a fact. It's an opinion. We don't think it's that great. We've seen great drops. That wasn't great.
But it's just that I guess it's like you go to a restaurant, you eat a delicious meal, and I see you smiling and going, oh, this is delicious. I'm enjoying this meal. And then you walk out of the restaurant and go, how was the meal? You go, could have been better. That's because you've done with this.
But you know what Plowed is? Plowed's chicken parm. It's good all the time. You have to be in the right mood for Stench.
Stench actually gets more real-life laughs from us than Don Plowed his Neighborhood.
Well, listen,
and that's a fact.
If you're a Plow guy or a Plow girl, vote right now at TMKS ESPN. Make this a little closer. We don't want to blow out in the tournament. This is
a
blowout in the title game.
I say keep going. I want the Stenchers to vote even harder. This Stench deserves it. Now, listen, here's the best argument you have. Sniffem Dead deserved to win the whole thing. That is fair. That would have been completely just. But sorry, Stench is better than Plowed. So that's the matchup we're left. You can't sit here and fantasize about what would happen if UCLA was playing tonight. They're not.
But
it's just what we have to deal with.
You have no right sitting there on your terrace with the great background. You have no right to tell me what I can or cannot fantasize about. I won't have it.
I got to tell you guys something that happened this weekend. It was a friend's birthday, and I told you I had the great idea to rent the theater. Do you guys recall?
Oh, yeah, great idea.
Great idea. My friend was very happy. Happy birthday, Jeff. I rented the theater. I don't often use the words, the worst movie ever made. King Kong Godzilla is the worst movie ever made.
Yeah, we watched it on HBO Max. It was terrible.
It was nothing resembling a story that made... I don't have high standards for King Kong versus Godzilla, okay? Citizen Kane. What did you say, Don?
You know what you're getting. This is not going to be Academy Award winning.
Okay.
But I thought King Kong turned in a great acting performance.
From the opening moments of the film, and I'll also admit this. This may be my fault. I didn't realize I was seeing the fourth in a series, okay? I just see King Kong Godzilla. I go, this is a tempting matchup. I want to see this. I didn't realize it would be so complex. I don't understand anything that's happening. The movie starts. No buildup to seeing King Kong. He's just sitting there. The movie just starts. There's Kong. Okay, so that's how we're doing things now? And then when you see what Godzilla is, when you see how much bigger he is, and you see him breathing fire,
right.
What kind of matchup is this?
That's a tough
King Kong has no chance.
Also, did you notice they didn't show anybody getting killed? I mean, they're knocking over buildings in, what was it, Hong Kong?
Yes.
You know that thousands and thousands, because they wanted a PG rating. They wanted kids to be, they never showed one person dying. Buildings tumbling over at the first sight of Godzilla, but nobody died.
The realistic death count, if you were to add it up, would be somewhere in like the 15 million people were killed.
Yes, yes, you're right.
In fact, no one even, I don't want to ruin it, nothing dies in the whole movie.
All right,
the movie stunk. It was the worst.
Sam Darnold traded to the Panthers. Rich Cimini just tweeted out that Darnold was the NFL's lowest-rated passer over the last three seasons. Decision-making was shaky. Turnovers an issue. That can't be disputed. But he had an ever-changing offensive line. No premier skill players. No run game and suspect coaching. Really tough to get a complete evaluation. All right, let's go to the phones. A lot of people want to talk about this. It'll be all Darnold. Let's go to Chris and Bethpage. Chris.
Hey, guys. Hey, just quickly, how about the Donner Party for Don's gang?
It's not bad.
It's a term of endearment when you call someone the Donner. And, you know, he's got a party, and it's historical. So I'm saying the Donner Party. I'm a member.
Wow. Okay, cool.
Anyhow, thank you, Chris.
All right. Anyhow, listen, guys, I'm a big Giant fan, but I've been saying this all along. It's a big mistake by the Jets. I'm sorry. And granted, Darnold hasn't been great the first 3 years, but he's so young. And you know what? He did show flashes. If you remember his rookie season, a game against the Cowboys and the Packers. And, you know, the guy does have talent. And he could be – listen, I think Carolina is laughing about this thing. I think they got a steal. They got talent around them. And you know what the Jets should have done? Kept Darnold. And if trade back. And the amount of talented players in the top 10 is unbelievable. I mean, they could have gotten that guy Pitts, the tight end, and you put him with Darnold and a new coach, and you see what you got there. I mean, I don't know. It's just now they got Wilson, and now what talent do they have around Wilson now? I mean, somebody said it, and they were right. The Jets had a lotto, basically. They had the lottery ticket at that number 2 pick, and they also had a quarterback, okay? It's not like
– Yeah, but
right?
Well, Chris,
and then,
what if Zach Wilson is a great quarterback? Then the lottery ticket paid off.
But those are big what-ifs, though, Michael.
We've seen 3 years of Sam. You think is he still an if?
Yes, there's no doubt about it. But listen, there's no doubt. And you know, Woody had a great point about Steve Young. Steve Young, he was on Tampa. He was in a bad situation. And then, lo and behold, they put people around him. Look at Tannehill. I mean, I'm just saying there's a lot of examples. And giving up on someone after 3 years like that who's this young, who did show some promise early on, I just think it's a mistake. And I'm just saying, they had the number 2 pick overall. They could have gotten so much talent. You don't think Pitts would make Sam Darnold a much better player?
Here's the X factor, Chris, because I'm with you. But here's what it really comes down to. If they love Wilson and believe that he is the next great quarterback, I guess it's your obligation. You got to take him. You know, all the draft capital in the world, all the cap space in the world, what does it mean if you don't have a quarterback? And if you believe the way Ernie Accorsi believed in Eli and made that deal with San Diego, then I guess you got to do it. So we can't get in Joe Douglas's head. We can talk about what I think, what Damian Woody thinks, what Michael thinks, what Peter thinks, what Steve Young thinks. If Joe Douglas and now Saleh salivate over the thought of Wilson, then I guess you have to do it, right, Michael? It's not even a guess. You do it.
I think you said it best. If they had the 10th pick, I think they would take the best available and stay with Sam. But they have an opportunity. Now, if they finish with the worst record, they would definitely take in Trevor Lawrence, right? That would not have been an argument. So people are not so sure about Zach Wilson. That's why it's an argument. No one would have said, keep Sam and don't pick Trevor Lawrence, right?
See, that's why I argue a little bit with you that they think that Sam was a problem or that Sam isn't any good or that – you know, you can't go anywhere with Sam. They might actually think Sam's good. But if you think Wilson's better, then I guess you have to take Wilson. So that's where it becomes a preference. And we're going to find out. Believe me. And you know what, Michael? If you're right, I'm wrong, vice versa. All right, we'll get up from it. Joe Douglas loses his job. So he's the one guy that actually has skin in the game, right? Everybody else is just going to be wrong about their opinion. But this guy's job would probably be on the line because – wow, there's so many factors. And somebody else on Twitter just said, don't forget about Fields. right? So if any of the quarterbacks after Wilson are good, that's going to look bad on Joe too. So he's the one that's taking the risk, that's for sure.
All right, we'll take a quick timeout, reset. Darnold going to the Panthers, so the Jets are definitely taking Zach Wilson. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Split the ice apart and break the frozen.
Ice picks. Ice picks. Ice picks. Ice picks.
Ice picks brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Perusing the lines of games today. I'm taking a look at that Winnipeg Jets home for the Ottawa Senators. I've got the Jets covering the goal and a half, minus a goal and a half at plus 125. So bet the Jets. That seems to be the theme today. That's Ice Picks brought to you by BetMGM. Place your parlay, props, and future bets at the King of Sportsbooks. Get the app today.
All right, a couple of baseball notes. This is the Mets starting lineup. Pilar is starting for the Mets playing center field. Lindor at short, Conforto in right, Alonso at first, Davis at third, McNeil at second, McCann behind the plate, Nimmo was in left, DeGrom's at first base. And the one thing I don't like about this, Dominic Smith is one of the best players on your team. And there is something, I know Don always jokes about opening day and all that, but there is something to be said for the honor of being the opening day left fielder. I'm sorry. The left-hander that's on the mound is not that tough that you can't play Dominic Smith. I know you're trying to improve your defense, but this is going to be a problem all the time. Dominic Smith had earned off of last year, and the fact that he's one of their best players, he had earned the right to be in the starting lineup. Matt Moore should not scare you off of playing Dominic Smith. I think it's a really bad move by Rojas.
I don't know. Does he look at it as opening day? I know it's the Mets' first game, but a lot of you're obviously on the road, so it's not opening day at home. All right, this is not the first game for the Phillies, not the first game of baseball. I'm just wondering if that plays into it a little bit because I like Pilar as a better defender. It's a lefty-righty situation, which drives me crazy. And I hear what you're saying, but is this, are the Mets treating this like it's opening day when it doesn't feel like it at all?
But it's your first opportunity.
Yeah, it's the first game. I mean, every guy on that team is anxious about playing. They've been waiting all these days in Washington with the games being postponed. I'm sorry. It's a terrible look. And also, Dominic Smith hits lefties very well. It's just a bad look. And if you're worried about the defense, Don, that's going to be an issue every single game this year. Every game is going to be an issue.
I know.
That's a bad move. You got to take care of Dominic Smith.
That's a little strong.
It's a bad move.
Let's see what he does.
Let's see what who does.
Let's see what Pilar does. I mean,
I don't care if Pilar goes 4-for-4. He's not your future. Dominic Smith is. Sometimes you got to send a message to a guy. You're my guy.
You're not starting him today?
I don't know, man. That's a bad look. I could be wrong.
Well, it's not as bad a look as what Peter's sporting right now. I don't know what's going on there. It's like a scene from Flash.
Oh.
Have you seen him?
Wow, what is that, Peter?
These are very interesting. I don't know what these are, but I found them. And I need to block the sun one way or another. You know what I'm saying?
You had nice sunglasses before. And now you look just showing off. Like a spaceman.
The Hoops Update brought to you by Wendy's. Wendy's, where quality is our recipe. Wendy's, we got you. We have Baylor and we have Gonzaga tonight for the national championship. And also congratulations to the Stanford women's team with a one-point win in the women's national championship. And a great job by Ryan Rucco throughout the tournament with really great end game calls, tight calls, and
speaking of calls, are we allowed to point out something?
No, and I already asked because, I mean, we talk about Dave Maloney. Dave Maloney is Vin Scully compared to Adam Morrison, how he stepped on the Gonzaga call. We're not allowed to play it. Screaming while the guy's trying to say what happened. It's a radio call, so he has to say what's happening. He's screaming at the top of his lungs.
That's not even what I was referring to.
What were you referring to?
I thought Nance had an unfortunate call at the end of that game.
Well, you're allowed to do that, and you're not a Nance fan. Both of you guys, anti-Nance, and I don't like
it. There was a bad crack. It was kind of rough.
Interesting.
You didn't hear it? No one heard it but me?
I mean, I had I actually had the volume really low, and I don't hear very well anyway, so I just got caught up in the moment. Also, another baseball story. Not casting aspersions, I'm not making a judgment, but if you want to feel weirded out, everybody, just a little weirded out, check out the Texas Rangers against the Blue Jays today at Globe Life Park. It's the first sellout, full sellout crowd in sports since March 12th of last year. Now you couldn't get another person into that ballpark today. You couldn't squeeze him in with a shoehorn. There's over 40,000 people jam-packed into that ballpark. And the funny thing is, it will go back to a percentage of capacity tomorrow. They just wanted opening day to be like this.
Well, maybe they had an agreement with the virus, Michael. It is opening day.
You know what? I stand corrected. That could, in fact, be the case. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Let's go to Kenny in Staten Island. Kenny.
How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you, Ken?
Big time. Not bad. Listen, with the Darnold trade, they got back what they could. They weren't going to get, basically much. I'm surprised they even got a second-round pick next year. And moving forward, Sam just wasn't the answer. Mike, I agree with you. He just don't have it. They call it the eye test, and you just didn't see anything. Sometimes you got to put a team on your shoulders as the quarterback and be a leader and lead them to victory once in a while, no matter who is on your schedule. And he just couldn't do that.
They were 7-9 last year, the year before, I mean.
Yeah, but some of those games, it just goes by the talent. He don't have it. I don't say that. I don't think he's going to be that good in Carolina. He's going to be an average quarterback. He was drafted to be the savior. He was drafted. When you give up all those picks to move up in the draft and take him with the number 3 pick, he had to do better.
You might be right,
no matter
Kenny,
who he's throwing the ball to.
But they, for the investment they made, they did nothing for him at all. They didn't get him any weapons, didn't get him any coaching. They did a complete disservice to him.
But they thought they were giving him something. They thought Adam Gase was really there to help him.
Well, but they didn't.
It's not like they sabotaged him, Don.
No, but they didn't give him any coaching, and they didn't give him any talent. That could also fall on Joe. They didn't give him a lot of talent. They didn't want it to be about this past year. So I don't think they sabotaged him. No, but you can't tell me they did the best they could for him. Buffalo went out and got Diggs for Allen. That did a world of good for him. Now he's one of the best quarterbacks in football. Who did they go out and acquire? They thought it was going to be Bell and then completely misused him. But who was the big thing they went out and got that you invest? Now, it wasn't Joe Douglas, but the organization invested to move up to get him. And what exactly did they do to help their investment?
Well, they thought they improved the offensive line. They thought they did. And that's what, Buddha made a good point. I mean, we're signing off that Joe Douglas is good at this. And he made a good trade with Seattle, but he did not improve the offensive line, and he thought he was going to. He didn't try to have a porous offensive line. Go to Dominic in Carolina. What are they thinking in Carolina?
Hi, boys. Hi, Mike. I usually only call you about the Yankees. I'm from New York. I happen to be down here with my son for the winter.
Okay.
And by the way, Mike, the last time I called, I threw you under the bus, and I jumped on Don's bus, but I was wrong. I really was wrong. Because now, day after day, I see it's 2-1, Mike, all the time. So I'm back on your bandwagon.
That's okay.
Mike.
What's your point about Carolina, Dominic?
No, well, Carolina, you had a caller last hour that said, that they're laughing down here. Well, they are laughing down here because they feel already that this morning when they woke up, they didn't have a quarterback. And now, this evening, they still don't have a quarterback. So that's the word down here.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know if I buy that. I mean, he's not. I mean, they're not getting Deshaun Watson. Nobody is. So you're either staying with Bridgewater or you're going to Darnold. So what would you rather trade for a guy who has 22 accusations against him in a civil suit, or Sam Darnold, who is about as upstanding as you could be, as nice a guy as you could be? We'll see.
Hey, Michael, if you're a Carolina Panther fan. And you've seen Sam a handful of times, you're just looking at the stats, why would you be excited? Right?
Yep.
because you don't know all the ins and outs or whatever. But you know what? We'll see. This is all going to come out in the wash, right?
All right. So drop Madness, TMKS ESPN, a Twitter. You're voting until 6:20 when you find out the champion. Now, remember, everybody, the Yankee game tonight starts at 6:30, so the Yes pregame's at 6. So if you want to hear ENN and the Drop Madness results, you got to listen on the radio, 98.7 ESPN. Also, Jason Barrett taking a heel turn. I don't know if you guys saw this.
What?
So he's saying he sees what's going on.
With the Carmi.
In order to defeat the Carmi, my people that are voting for me at Sports Radio PD against Adam Schefter, he said maybe Adam Schefter's people should chip in and try to defeat the Carmi. So he's trying to create a race here because right now I'm running away with it.
The only difference between you and Schefter is that he doesn't know this event's actually happening.
You know, you're a bad. Wow. You're not a friend. You're not a friend. You think you are. No, you don't even think you are.
Tom, was that really a low blow?
Well, it was accurate. I don't know if it was appropriate, but it was accurate. I mean, Michael, it's amazing. You were losing by 10 when I voted at the beginning of the show. Now it's like quadrupled in votes, and it's 76-24 in favor of Michael.
So that's what I'm saying. This isn't a real competition. It doesn't mean anything.
Hey, listen, if you're throwing Jason a follow, then it's worth it for him.
Well
said. That's right.
Otherwise, you've compromised the whole thing.
All right, so we go off of our simulcast at 6, and then ENN will be on 98.7. The Met game's at 7 tonight. The Yankee game's at 6:30. How about this for a clownish response? Vincent Randazzo, Michael, you're bashing the Mets for not playing Smith in game one? Wow, worry about your $30 million bench warmer. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not worried about a thing. They play Stanton when they want to. I think Dominic Smith is the future of the Mets. I think he's a great player, great representative for the team. He should be in there tonight, not Kevin Pillar. It's not just Michael saying that. And I don't worry about bench warmers, Vincent. I got more important things to worry about. We'll be back on Yes to 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Let's see what this says. Marcus May, apparently not a fan of Sam Darnold trade. So this is from Pro Football Talk. I'm just waiting for it to come up. Well, here we go. May's tweet was short but effective. A simple facepalm emoji.
I don't think that's ever a good thing to do.
What, a facepalm emoji?
No, just to be critical like that, right? How does that help anybody?
Well, we wouldn't have a show if we couldn't be critical.
Yeah, but all right.
I know what you're saying from a guy on a team.
Yeah, so
especially you're trying to get a contract.
Well, yeah, and so that just tells you that he's now like in Jamal Adams territory now. Like
could be headed there.
You know, and I understand you're bitter, but the fact is that Wilson's coming here now. All right, you could be a fan of Sam, wish him well, but now that's awkward, and those things don't go away. So I just don't know how that benefits him. All right, so now we know that as a member of the team that doesn't like the trade. All right, so now what? Now how does that help?
You know, if you're a member of the team now, though, there's no quarterback that's going to be great right from the very beginning. So a guy like Marcus May looks, oh, we're going to have another bad year as this quarterback grows. So I could see why a guy on the team now, although I'm for this trade, but a guy on the team now that wants to win now probably saying, well, here we go again. We're rebuilding.
Okay.
That's part of the whole frustration and for everyone is that as much as you may have not learned from Sam and as much as you may be hopeful about Zach Wilson, it's still a start over.
And they should be used to it by now because they've been starting over for how long now?
28 minutes left in Drop Madness. Stench running away with it 62% to 38%. So if you're a plow guy or a plow girl, go to TMKS ESPN and make this closer. It's an embarrassment right now. It's one of those ones you're going to shut off the TV tonight if you're watching CBS and Gonzaga is running away. This is it's a bad reflection on the show. It's an awful reflection on Andrew that a number one seed could get beaten this badly by a number four seed. Come on. Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Let's go to Jesse in New Jersey. Jesse.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking the call. I don't understand why this is even an argument or a discussion, quite frankly. There is not a single statistic that backs up keeping Sam Darnold after 3 years. And the Steve Young comparison from before doesn't work. Steve Young had 19 starts. Sam Darnold had 38. Bill Walsh used to say, you know what your starting quarterback is after 25 starts. And just to be clear on Sam, and I mean, he seems like a great kid, so I'm not going on the air just to try to make him sound terrible. Right. But the reality was he was QB 35 last year. He wasn't QB 25. He wasn't just sabotaged by a bad team. Go look at Gardner Minshew's numbers last year on a 1-15 Jacksonville team.
Fair.
Terrible coaching. All right, and it's not close. Gardner Minshew had a far better year than Sam. I wish Sam was a franchise quarterback. Nobody wanted him more 3 years ago than I did. Believe me, I never saw Joe Namath. But this idea that he's, you know, somehow been sabotaging, he didn't have to show more than QB 35 over the last 3 years. I don't understand why he's not responsible for the bad tape that he put out there. If I can't evaluate Sam right now after 38 games, then why was it fair to fire
him? Why are there so many people, Jesse, that know way more than we do who still believe he's a good quarterback?
And there's way and there's an equal number who say that he isn't, Don.
I'm not sure there is. I'm not sure of that, Jesse.
You want to hear Mike Tannenbaum sat on the air.
Right, Mike Tannenbaum. I can give you Bill Parcells. I can give you Damian Woody. I can give you Dan Orlovsky. I can give you Mel Kiper. I can give you Todd McShay.
Yeah,
I mean, I give you a bunch of other people.
They have a vested interest in their draft ranking because they still talk about Sam like he's coming out of USC.
All right,
he has 3 years of bad tape.
Goodbye to yes, by the way.
Well, we'll find Jesse, out,
Jesse. I think you presented your point very, very well.
It was well said.
I kind of lean toward what you're saying, Jess, but people are looking outside the numbers and they're just watching, and they're watching tape from college. But I didn't see it with my eyes, but I have untrained eyes.
Listen,
for that.
Carolina just drafted. You may not think it's a big haul, but the three draft picks over 2 years, and according to reports, will give him the $19 million for next year.
No, I
obviously,
get it.
They
As you
believe
said, Don,
he's
there are a lot
than
of people
35th
that believe
quarterback
he's good.
In the NFL.
There are a lot of but statistically, he was.
But we just don't look at statistics, do we?
No, I know.
I know, but Jesse,
he's making a good point about Gardner Minshew. They had an awful team, the worst team in football, and he wasn't quarterback 35.
That was the strongest point he made.
Well, they didn't trade for Minshew. He's available.
Yeah, you're right. There are people that still love him. All right, when we come back. Go ahead, Peter.
No, I defend Sam. I do, because we like him. But the fact of the matter is we can't sit here and say that no quarterback has ever overcome a lack of weapons and bad coaching before, Michael, because we have.
Yep. Yeah, but not to this extent. Happen. This is the worst it's ever been for any quarterback outside of maybe the expansion Buccaneers.
All right, we're going to take a brief
really
time out.
Find out.
When we come back, ENN, we'll find out the results of Drop Madness. Been an unbelievable show. A lot of stuff to talk about. Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
I usually, Don knows, because we've been doing this for 20 years, I usually have maybe one or two shows a year where I will say games like Saturday are the reason you love sports. And you didn't even have to have a dog in the fight. I was sitting there. Jody was sleeping. Callie was sleeping. Charlie never goes to bed. He was in the other room. Mm-hmm. And that game was so great. I was literally on the edge of the seat. And then when Suggs hit the shot, I let out a yell at like 11:30, 11:45 in my house, and it was just exhilarating. That was one of the best games, college basketball games I've ever seen. Because you know the old dumb cliche, you hate to see that somebody lost a game. Well, somebody has to lose the game. But that time, you really felt for UCLA because they played such a great game. And to lose it on a 50-foot shot, I mean, it must be – I can only imagine. I didn't have a dog in the fight, and I was heartbroken for them and exhilarated for Gonzaga. It was great. It was just a great game.
In every way, shape, or form, right? I mean, you're seeing high percentage shots – you know, because you've got, you know, you're playing into the 80s, right, into the 90s, which you don't get to see all that often. And clutch shot after clutch shot. And UCLA celebrating, thinking they had won the game, or at least, you know, put themselves in a situation to go to overtime. And then a half-court shot knocks them out of it. The only thing that maybe will not have it be the greatest of all time is that Gonzaga wasn't down. Like, if they were down, that'd be unbelievable. They were going to go to overtime at least. But the back and forth of it, the perfect season on the line aspect of it, yeah, we're a prisoner of the moment, Michael, but explain to me how that's not one of the top five NCAA tournament games ever played.
It was amazing. And as you said, it wasn't because, you know, somebody did something wrong. They both played almost a perfect college basketball game. They had high shooting percentages. They hit clutch shots. I mean, Hujang is an amazing player. It was like he was unstoppable. Suggs might be the number one pick in the draft. It was exhilarating. And now we get the two best teams in the tournament. The two best teams in the 68-team field, we get that today. And it's going to be a great finals. I mean, these two are very much alike. Yeah. They're both outstanding teams. The two coaches are extraordinarily close. I mean, they're really, really friendly. So somebody's going to be heartbroken tonight, and somebody's going to be a champion. Well, just amazing. Everything on the line.
So the question is, what are the games that are definitively ahead of that game in terms of all-time greatness?
I still think the NC State game was, I mean, just because of the level of upset that it was. Now, if UCLA had won on Saturday, maybe that pushes it ahead because Gonzaga is supposed to win that game. UCLA was in the first four. They were an 11th seed, but they didn't play like that. But when NC State won that game, when Lo Charles dunked the ball on the Wittenberg miss, well, he said it was a pass. That was one of the greatest college basketball games you'll ever see. And with so much on the line, this was a regional. This was a semifinal. It wasn't the final, but that was a final. That was to win a national championship. That was amazing. And, you know, I was there for Georgetown and Villanova. In Kentucky, that was an amazing game. The Christian Laettner shot was not a final, but that was, I mean, that was unbelievable as well.
That was best for me because I was invested in every second of that because obviously Saturday I had the Rangers, and I listened to the end of the game on the radio when I was driving home. But really, they're kind of similar in the sense of way they ended, right? Because even the Laettner, forget the Laettner shot, it was the Hill pass.
Right.
So the Hill pass to Laettner and a half-court shot, to me, are almost equivalent for, like, chances of it succeeding at the moment the ball entered the court, right? So you've got a half-court shot as opposed to Hill having to hit Laettner three-quarters of the way down the court, Peter. And then Laettner, I know you're not a fan, but as calmly and coolly as I've ever seen anybody take a shot to win a game in my life. So,
how about dribble, Don, to have the presence of mind to dribble?
Dribble, pivot. Bang. I gotta go
Don here. I hate to play Don, but you have to factor in that that's not the same round.
Right.
I mean, it's not a Final Four game. This is it. That's the thing at this level. How about Duke beating UNLV? Great game, iconic upset, undefeated favorite in the final. That's gotta be up there.
That's up there. Villanova beating North Carolina with Archie Diacomo with that shot. That was an amazing play as well. That was huge. So, I mean, college basketball has given us a lot of really great games. I mean, it really is. It's a championship that usually doesn't disappoint. You usually get games like that. And if you're invested, I know Andrew's really invested in this tournament. It was amazing. I mean, the first game was a letdown. It was a blowout. Baylor just, you know, took him to the woodshed. But this one, I mean, again, this is why you come back for sports. This is why you go through all the nonsense and the disappointment and the heartbreak, because you want to have games like that.
How much does Gonzaga have to win tonight to help that game out? Like, that game doesn't need very much help to be remembered, But really, the perfect thing would be for them to move on and win the championship.
Right. If they lose, then it's like the, you know, as Don would say, the Andy Chavez catch.
It's a great game, you know, and they did advance to a final because of it. But, boy, what a completion of not only the perfect season, the first since 1976, but to have that kind of game on Saturday culminate into what I, you know, listen, I hope we get another great game. I can't imagine we'd get one as good as we saw on Saturday. I guess it's the Bulldogs are favored by 4, so they anticipate it to be a fairly close game, kind of a one-possession game, so we'll see. That's what we got to hope for. But no matter how they win it, if they do win it, wow, what a season. What a finish to the season and what a season it would be.
And you know what's great? And I feel like this game, so we've been wondering about what the legacy would be for Gonzaga, right? And don't you feel like in many ways this game that they just had kind of helped solidify the legacy and make it that much more memorable in spite of what has been a weird year?
Yeah, you might be right.
They kind of needed that. They kind of needed that all-time iconic thrilling game. If they had just sort of cruised their way through and won, because they are, while they're a huge program, they're not one of the classically huge programs. And because the season has been what it was, I feel that if they didn't have that iconic win on Saturday night, people might be able to sort of forget about this. But I think that game against UCLA changes that. And now we will forever remember this Gonzaga team.
Now, Peter, I know you live on the ground floor of the apartment building in which you reside. You have one of the great backgrounds of all time now. If anybody's watching on Yes, you have the most beautiful skyline in the planet of New York. I think the Empire State Building is coming out of the top of your head.
It is.
Where are you, my friend? It's gorgeous, in a word.
I am at my girlfriend's apartment, and you hear Bear the dog also visiting as well. And, yeah, she has an incredible balcony. I hope that the shot in the background can do it justice.
Well, it does.
It's incredible.
There's
it's
one thing one that shot reeks of.
What's that? Money, right?
That Peter is right now in a relationship with somebody who's making a lot more money than him.
I wouldn't go that far, Don. Just,
well, she's got a nicer place than you.
A very nice place. 42nd floor, beautiful view of Manhattan. And I thought that the audience would enjoy this. And I got my vaccine today at the Javits Center. And she lives right near the Javits Center. So I set up shop here, went and got my vaccine, was able to make it back on time. And here we are.
I'm making a prediction, Don, because Peter's not one of the toughest people we know. He will not be working tomorrow.
I'm worried.
Why? No, he will not.
What, did you get Johnson & Johnson?
I sure did.
Well, from what I hear,
Andrew was hurting.
I don't know if he'll gut it out the way Andrew did.
No, I was talking to Andrew off the air. He said, well, I gutted it out. I said, that's the key. You gutted it out.
No.
I'm Peter one of the will call in sick any chance he gets.
Okay. False. Simply false. Uh-huh. I hope I do not get sick. Now, I had corona before and had antibodies, right? Which Andrew did not, as far as we know. I've been told it seems that people who already had the antibodies sometimes react worse than those who did not. Here's what I really didn't like, though. I said to the woman who was giving me the vaccine, she was like, oh, you look like you're a little nervous. I said, no, I'm fine. I said, but... I said, how sick are people getting from this? She said, oh, well, some people, you know, it takes 8 hours or so, and then it lasts just a day, and some people can last as long as a few days. And I said, and like, how many people don't feel anything at all? She went, from the Johnson & Johnson? Oh, nobody. Everyone feels something.
I'll tell you what, like, you know, Jody's pretty tough, so she had her second vaccine Saturday, and she couldn't move for 2 days. I mean, she was in bad shape. She got it early Saturday morning. And it kicked in right away, and she had a high temperature, chills, headache, and that lasted all through Sunday. Today she woke up, and she was fine.
I'll tell you something, though. Andrew, I don't know if you remember this, if you had this experience. I don't know if I've ever had a shot where you feel the immediacy of the shot kicking in the second it goes in your arm like that.
From the Johnson & Johnson?
Yeah.
My arm was sore, but I don't know if I felt it quite like that. Seven hours later, I was feeling it.
Yeah, like I'm not in intense soreness right now, but the soreness started the second it pulled came out of my arm. Also, let's just take a moment to appreciate how surreal the Javits Center is. I mean, it is straight out of a movie about times like this where it's like military people everywhere. I know we've all gotten used to it. Sometimes I need to pause and go, this is Bizarro Land. Like the fact that we are all talking about which vaccine did you get and you're being guided by military people in the Javits Center. Like, let's just stop for a second. This is like a Landis film. This is a bizarro situation we're in.
Well, we're just lucky, and we thank the scientists and the doctors that have made this possible. Hopefully we get back to normal. And we're also celebrating our new 2 p.m. start time.
How?
By giving away $10,000 in the month of April.
That's right.
So starting today, later in this hour, the 2 p.m. hour, be listening for the K-Cash Sounder. Here it is. See ya! See ya! See ya! Wow, and be ready to call in at 888-987-ESPN to claim $500 cash. It's all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. And by the way, it was Chris Jenkins who got the pass from Archer Diacomo, who hit the shot for Villanova that beat UNC at the buzzer. So that's got to be up there. That certainly has to be up.
I got to tell you, we have some amazing sound people at our station.
Mm-hmm.
The rejoiners, the commercials. Whenever we have a contest sounder.
You're not happy with it.
It's hard. That was hard. Don, do you like that?
No.
That was horrifying.
But we're giving away $500, so.
Well, it doesn't matter.
You could have John Tush's thing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter. It's like football with the open, with the here come football. It's the same thing. We're giving away $500. Why do anything?
It's not fair.
Right. Now, Don, we have Stephen A. Smith coming on at 3:30, which is great. And I got to tell you what, you have changed the landscape of media. I don't know if you realize that.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Everybody and their mother is doing lists now. So yeah. Stephen A. did a list on First Take. They've taken your idea. They robbed it, really. And they've taken it as their own. Bart Scott does it. Chris Canty does it. You're the list guy. You're Mr. Lister. You.
Yeah. And I'd still be if I were allowed to do it every day.
What do you mean allowed? Like you act like there's some big goon that says you can't.
Well, I wouldn't call you a goon. You are big.
Well, I mean, we have a lot of sports to
talk
about.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Am I complaining? I'm just saying I would do it every day. That's how big a list guy I am. Now, I'm sure there were lists done before I started to do them, but I definitely made it a thing.
It was a thing.
Boy, has everyone at the station now ran with it.
And the national parts, too. And
yeah.
TV. Give the guy some love. It's him. He came up with it.
Well, no. Okay. We're not really doing this, are we?
Yeah, we are.
Because I love Don, and I love the Daily Don, and no one does it better than Don.
Right.
But even Don isn't going to sit here and pretend that he invented the list on radio.
Well, that's what I just said.
I'm pretending.
Right. I can't. You know, I'm with Don. I can't play along with these reindeer games. Don does it better. He's not the inventor, but he's the bester.
Now, I've got to tell you this, okay? You got to listen to the show today on the radio at some point. Because the Yankee games in April, the night games from the stadium, start at 6:30. So that means Yes is leaving us at 6. Sometimes with the batting practice show, they're leaving at 5:30. So in order for you to consume this fine show, get near a radio, get near Alexa, whatever, 98.7 ESPN.
Right.
Because if you want to hear ENN, it's a radio vehicle when the Yankees have a 6:30 start. It's a radio vehicle. That's it.
And today we're crowning a champion, radio only.
That's right.
This is like 1960s NBA Finals.
Now, Anthony, just to wet people's whistle just a little bit, tell us the matchups here. Give us what against what in Drop Madness. Don plowed his entire neighborhood yesterday. And against?
I think I'm saying this right, Peter. Stench in Mamaroneck. You're on ESPN New York. How are you, sir?
Oh, hey, no, it's Bennett.
All right, what do you think wins? Let's prognosticate. What do you think wins? We'll start voting at 4:20, and then you'll find out who won at 6:20.
Well, I think the better, and now listen, I'm actually hurting myself here as a four-time champion. I think the better drop is yours because I'm not a fan of Stench. I'll take the win, but I really think I would be better represented with Sniff 'em dead. But Stench to me has grown this cult following where it might be tough to beat because people are really behind this drop.
It's I'm predicting a big win for Stench today.
No, I think you're wrong, and I'm going to really politic hard today because I need to win something.
I really wish I understood why you decided when this tournament started to be anti-Stench. I'll never quite understand it.
Because I don't – first of all, a drop by definition is a quick hit. Stench is a long, drawn-out thing.
When did you decide that that was your standard?
Just as I was talking, just a second.
Right now, the second. Yeah. Okay. Andrew, don't you find it weird, though, that there's been this sort of, like, turn on stench when the tournament started?
From Michael? I think Michael's just ready to be crowned the champion himself. Oh. And it's going to be interesting if he turns the Carmi on this show. He's been using it right now solely for the Jason Barrett tournament. I wonder if he'll turn the Carmi against Don here in Drop Madness.
Well, the Carmi has to get to work today because I'm losing to Adam Schefter in the final of the Jason Barrett tournament.
What, you're losing to Adam Schefter?
Yeah. Schefter has over 3 million followers on Twitter.
I know, but you guys aren't even – you guys shouldn't even be in the same bracket.
I just want to win. There are winners and there are losers. I want to be a winner. That's it.
Well, you're only 10 points behind.
That's a lot. Again, all the Carmi. By the way, I'm walking out of the stadium yesterday, right? Five guys are walking the other way. So I've got a mask on, and they didn't know it was me right away. Then they see it's me, and they go, "Kay, we're part of the Carmi." It's become a thing now.
Oh, it's really dreadful.
Why is it dreadful?
The Carmi. Because
there's not a Rami?
No, it's first of all.
But the what you just said is the reason why there isn't one.
The Carmi, it doesn't sound pleasant. It doesn't sound good.
No, it sounds carny. You're a carny.
You sound
a
like
joke.
A carny.
But it's a circus not a carny. Freak. It's a Carmi. People are proud members of the Carmi. I think I'm going to get T-shirts made up and give them out. Maybe I'll have a graphics joker design a Carmi T-shirt.
Yeah, right. This radio station giving away a
no,
T-shirt.
No, I'll pay. I'm paying for the $500 this week, two each day.
Again, lying, but still.
It's not a lie.
See, big KISS lie. Didn't do this. They called it the KISS Army. And they had a phenomenal merchandising back in the 70s for it. You could be K Army.
You paid for some of it.
Why couldn't you just be K Army?
I like Carmi. I like to squeeze things together. Always have.
But when the word's flattering, this isn't a flattering word.
I believe it is. I believe it is. 1-800-919-3776. Now, we have to talk because, I mean, we were on the air on Friday, right?
Oh, sure.
And we were in the air on Thursday after opening day, and Yankee fans were starting to get the cold sweats. So what are they feeling now when the team didn't hit and lost 2 out of 3? Now, they had great pitching, except Herman didn't pitch well, but everybody else did. Everybody out of the bullpen pitched very, very well. I thought Kluber had 4 pretty good innings. Garrett Cole, 5 1/3 good innings. Herman gave up 3 runs in 3 innings, so that wasn't very good. But here's what I would tell all the Yankee fans right now. If you're worried about the Yankees hitting, your worry is misplaced.
Okay.
They didn't hit in the first 3 games. They didn't hit. That's it. They didn't hit. And everybody's going to say, well, they're a power-hitting team. I looked up the stats. The Yankees have been in the top 10 in Major League Baseball the last couple of years in hitting with runners in scoring position, despite the fact that they hit home runs. So, that's not your worry. Your worry is about your starting pitching, being healthy, able to give them a significant amount of innings. That's what you're concerned about. If you're really concerned that the Yankees are going to hit, then check out now. Because I don't know what to tell you. This team is going to hit. Unless there's some catastrophic array of injuries, and that didn't stop them a couple of years ago. They won 103 games. This team will hit. And another thing that cropped up, Don and Peter, that people are upset about, I just don't get it. Are they not? If you don't study history, you're doomed to repeat it. So yesterday, Giancarlo Stanton's not in the lineup. So after an injury is eliminated, then Aaron Boone says in the pregame press conference, I don't want to play him 5 games in a row this early. We're going to slow roll him in. We don't want to push him that much. And this surprises people? Are you surprised by this? This is the what the Yankees do. They sit people down after 3 hits. Well, this is the day to rest. So, I guess the argument is, well, you're going to do this at the beginning of the year? It was only the 3rd game. Yeah, that's what they do. So why are you surprised?
It's still annoying, though. You know, he played 2 games in a row. Excuse me, 1 game in a row. Game, day off, game, off day. Come on.
Yeah, but he's going to play. He'll probably play him 3 games against Baltimore.
All right. But it's odd that you're getting a day off on a Sunday after you had a day off Friday.
I have made my feelings known about this. It's a different game. I talked to David yesterday, and I said, David, You're not even out of the game that long. You don't even recognize this game anymore. There's no way that you would sit down in the third game of the year, as Don said, after an off day on opening day. But I didn't even blink yesterday. I didn't say, oh, I'm going to rip them for this, because this is what they do. So you either decide you want to root for somebody else, or you accept that this is what they
right.
do. How they run their business.
But it's also complaining for the sake of complaining, because they're resting a player that, what, were that they disappointed that they couldn't boo him?
Right. He didn't hit the first two. In fact, Aaron Hicks looks completely lost. Aaron Judge has hit into some big double plays. He's gotten some hits. Yesterday, they scored one run because Clint Frazier hustled. He had a blooper to right field. Most guys would have stopped at first. He just kept running and went to second, got a double. Then he moved to third on a fly ball. So he's at third with one out, and Brett Gardner hits a ground ball. That's the Yankee offense yesterday.
I know. It's one series. Let's not get crazy. You want to be the Red Sox who got swept by the worst team in baseball?
Yeah, and you know, just a little bit of a heads up, everybody. Toronto's pretty good. And it's Kid Merriweather. You know, they lost Kirby Yates ago. Who's going to close? He's going to close. Julian Merriweather's going to close. His stuff is filthy. It's almost unhittable. So pump the brakes. Again, I will tell you this. If you're worried about them hitting, then I don't know what to tell you. I can tell you, 35 years covering this game, this team's going to hit. They didn't hit for series.
Any of these freaking out Yankee fans take any time to celebrate Sanchez hitting a couple home runs this series?
Well, that took him out of the equation to complain about.
Well, right, you got to
forget his day.
So he hits two home runs opening weekend. You can't be mad about that. You got to transfer it to Stanton and everything else.
And Hicks is going to start getting it too.
Oh yeah,
because he really did look lost. Really looked lost. It was weird. I've never seen him look that lost. He was like way late on fastballs, way ahead on off-speed pitches. And you know, I tried to run this past Paul, and he didn't really bite. We all sing the praises of Hicks and how selective he's at the plate. He's letting pitches go by that he can hit. And Paul did say sometimes you can really drive a ball that's just off the plate. Hicks is waiting for the perfect pitch to hit, and he finds himself all the time down in the count, or it's 3-2. Yeah, so he does get a lot of walks, but as a number three hitter, he got to hit a little too. It's not just getting on bases, your number three hitter. You want to do damage. So it's going to be interesting to see if they have a change of heart about that, but I know they like the switch hitter there, but there are other options. So we'll see. We have a lot of stuff to do, as you know. Later on in the hour, somebody's going to win $500 on the way to us giving away $10,000 this month just in the 2 o'clock hour. We're really pumped about that. Drop Madness, the NCAA title game. Knicks in the Nets tonight. There's a chance, little tiny chance that Kevin Durant could play. Little tiny chance. So we'll see, and we'll monitor that. And we got a lot of stuff to do. I'm excited about Yankees, Orioles, when the Mets start their season against the Phillies. Sit back, relax, shower off, because this is a day you're going to towel off every single commercial break. That's how hot it's going to be. Wow. Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.